Okay.
So we start pretty promptly, at least I do at 9, we both start at 9 o'clock every day. So if it's your first time on campus, make sure you figure out where to park music. This classroom appears to be empty before we come in, so, and Dave's, I think, usually here pretty early, 8:30. So you're welcome to walk in.
Yeah, I'll be usually at the computer in the adjunct office, 12:06, but I usually come in 15 or 20 minutes early.
Okay. So my name's Diane Young. I'm one of the teachers of the course, and that's Dave Johnson in the back. He's the second teacher of the course. So you might not have realized when you signed up that you're in a class that has two teachers, but you are, and we're both in here all the time. And you signed up for something called College Algebra Express, so we're just going to talk about what that means for just a minute. It almost probably appears when you signed up that you signed up for two classes, basically 0414, Accelerated Developmental Algebra, and College Algebra 13 and 14 at the same time. We meet in here 5 days a week, from 9 to 10:20, Monday through Thursday, and from 9 to 10 on Fridays. It's one seamless class, so you don't know which one you're in. It's all kind of blended together. We do it in two-week increments. So I'll teach in the front for 2 weeks, and then I give a test, and then Dave takes over and teaches for 2 weeks and gives a test. Every 2 weeks, there's an exam, so it's broken down into sort of 8 exams total. But some of it's developmental, then it goes to college level, then it kicks back to developmental, it goes to college level. So you don't really know what you're doing at the moment. It's just you signed up for 7 credit hours. So the developmental side, 0414, is 4 credit hours, and college algebra, 13, 14, is 3 credit hours. The goal is, in 16 weeks, you will be two things. You'll be TSI complete for passing the 0414 side of the course, and you'll have your math credit done also, 13, 14, the college level math credit. So you'll get 2 independent grades. Some of it's based off the same material, but you get A in both, you get A and B, B and C, just depending on how the grades pan out. Did your advisor make you clear of that? Is everyone kind of clear about that? That's why we meet 5 days a week. 7 credit hours is a big commitment. It's a 2-class commitment. For some of you, you're attempting to get through sort of 3 classes in one, because elementary algebra material, intermediate algebra material, and also college algebra all in the same semester. So we understand that. That's why there's sort of a lot of time involved and a lot of manpower involved in trying to get you through that. We have double office hours, and we have all kinds of extra time available. This class is capped at 25. We have 25 people enrolled. This is my 6th or 7th time doing it. Dave and my 2nd time doing it together. And a typical 13-14 college algebra pass rate is about 50%. An express pass rate, ours is usually around 70%. So, but it takes a lot of commitment on your side. Coming to class 5 days a week is never like a picnic. But because you come 5 days a week, we only have to do one section a day. We have more time for review. We can test in the classroom with no like testing center. So there's a lot of good positive attributes that come out of meeting 5 days a week also. Everybody called out their express, right? Coming in. Okay. Does anybody have any questions about that idea about the class? Okay, so in your folder, I didn't make an extra one, but here you can hand these out to people. There's a couple of things we're going to highlight today, and then there's a couple of things that we're going to send you home to think about. So, I don't think anybody's first college semester. I looked everybody up, but this isn't anybody's first class, is it?
No.
Oh, yes. Okay. So in every college class, you get a syllabus on day one.
Here's an extra one. I'm in the wrong class.
Oh, it's the commitment kind of between you and me and Dave and what's going to go on.
So some important things at the top of the syllabus is
the most important thing is when we meet and how to get in touch with either one of us.
So most of the time when we email, we CC each other all the time anyway. So you can email either one of us and we just CC and it kind of goes back and forth. Dave's office hours are in the Advent Suite on this floor around the corner, 1206. And I sort of have a twofold job at campus. Not only do I instruct, but I'm also the math IA. It stands for Instructional Associate. Basically what it means for you is a really good thing. It means I have about 15 additional hours where I'm a tutor in the accelerator. And so I'll hand out my hours for that in a couple minutes, but there is no reason why you can't find somebody to get help, either him or me, with all the hours that I'm here on campus, including right before class. So, I get here at 8. So from 8 to 9 every day, I'm here available to help over the accelerator on the first floor, because you have homework due every day, so... Either you're going to probably, this is what the successful students do. They make a study group, number one. They do their homework together, either before class or immediately after class. And I'm in the accelerator both of those times, an hour before class and an hour after class. And then they're done for the day, and they don't have to really think about it. So I know that's a lot to throw at you today because you don't know anybody in here per se, but the quicker you learn somebody in here and you start working together, the much better it becomes. So groups of two or three, we had last semester 7 or 8 kids every day came before class. Just, they become friends. We have peace party. Like, it's just a nice group of people. We know each other really well because we meet 5 days a week. So we'll know your name in a week and everybody knows everybody's business kind of in the express class just because of the nature that we're in here every single day. So that's building 8,000 accelerators where I will be every day at 8 if you have any questions on your homework. So we talked about it's a 7-credit hour, and we talked about you getting college algebra credit and also developmental credit. That's how all the express classes work. Some important things. So we're going to talk about the textbook real quick. So I'm going to talk about the developmental side. The developmental side uses a free textbook that's online. Its author is a woman, I think, named Mary Chuck. Okay? So I want to show you real quick how you're going to access that. So in your Blackboard, everybody's been to, like, this page. This is the instructor side, so it might look a little bit different. But over here, under course documents, you will click course. So you'll log into your Blackboard. You'll click course documents. And over here on the right, towards the bottom, it says Maritech. This is the entire textbook. It's over 1,000 pages. In a big PDF, it's a little tricky. So somebody, a fellow colleague of mine, has gone in and just highlighted the problem sets for y'all. So if I click this file right here, you will see that it's going to open up this. So 1.1 is what we're going to be doing today. 1.1 is the section we're going to cover. And the ones that are highlighted yellow are the ones that are your homework problems. And so some, like, you can't read the lecture about it because it's kind of the edited version of the text. And then it just goes all the way through like that. So by section. This now is only about 190 pages of free textbook for y'all. If you scroll down to the bottom is where the solutions are. So you can, that's one of your first things tonight is to figure out how to get into Maritech. And how to maneuver in there. So, because some people always have trouble with it, on the right in your folder, it says, not the one on the top, but the one on the bottom, where it says Algebra Express Written Homework. You will have one of these every single day that we have a new lesson. And so, I'm going to put this down for a second. I'm going to bring this up for a second so you can see. So, this is saying that we're in Maritech, that's where your homework's coming from. And on the front, there are some problems that you're going to do where you do not have the answers. And then on the back, I went ahead and copied from Maritech the problems that are homework, just in case you can't get into it tonight with your computer.
So just for today, all your homework that's due tomorrow is on this piece of paper right here, including the merit check problem. But you'll see that these correspond to the yellow highlighted ones. So make sure when you get home tonight that you can get to the yellow highlighted ones on your own, because I'm only doing that for tonight. I kind of made one document that's got everything that you need, because this is going to be due tomorrow. I'll talk more about this that again. But, so that's goal number one. Get into your Blackboard, get into course documents, get into Meritech, and make sure you can get to like the right section. And the yellow columns are all going to do these columns right here, because I just missed a piece of them in here for tonight. Okay? So. There is another textbook when you get to the college algebra side. It's called Rockwald. So at the top of your daily homeworks that you're going to be given, it either says Marichek or Rockwald. So you'll know which one you're at. You've already paid for the access to the textbook in your registration fees. Probably none of you have a hard copy. Is that correct? So nobody's...
Let me talk about first-day access. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is the textbook. It'd be very unusual if any of you had it, because it's kind of expensive. And so the publisher and ACC has worked out a deal with the publisher. It's called First Day Access. And basically what that means is that you guys have all paid already for access to the textbook. So you have it right now. Now, we're going to have to, we decided we're going to go in tomorrow.
Like, this is the first document, right? Is it on the left where it says accessing the textbook?
Yeah, well, these are not the instructions, but they're, I mean, what I handed out. So everybody should have gotten a handout on the first day access stuff. If you follow the directions, you should be able to get access to the textbook. Now, what we're suggesting is that you go home tonight and try to figure that out, and if you have trouble, come in tomorrow, and we'll sort it all out. There's computers at every station here in this classroom, so one way or the other, we'll make sure you have it. You don't need it for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, you don't need the Rockwald book and that access for 2 weeks, but we're trying to get you in now so that that's all sorted.
Yeah, so
when Rockwald homework in 2 weeks, you're like, oh, I'm already logged in, and I can get to that homework and stuff.
And if you're having any doubts, this is about a $250 textbook, right? You can get them cheaper online, but hopefully we've done that for a whole lot less money. You'll have access. We're going to, because of the lecture notes that we're going to hand out to you, you probably won't need to go into your textbook very much except for homework problems. But so we'll sort the rest of that out tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll make sure you're not, like, I don't want to give you too much information on the first day because it gets overwhelming, but like your textbook's covered, so you don't need to buy anything. The Meritech one is free through that file. That's what you need to worry about for the next 2 weeks. But go home and try to get into Rockwell access at the moment. Okay, I sent out an email about y'all having a typefitter, correct? Did you get that? So this is the most basic one that I'm suggesting, the $10 to $12 one, TI 30X2. Scientific typefitter. You can definitely get one of these. This is not the only one. This is just the one I like a lot. If you have a TI, do we make it? Are we okay with this?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have just from high school, we're totally fine.
So that's 84.
Yeah.
Those are good too.
We use it every day, so hopefully you have one today, because I'm going to show you some fraction stuff that you might not be aware of on your calculator. If you have a Casio or whatever, like that guy's fine too. There's other versions that you might have that are totally fine that you might have used from another course. But bring your calculator every single day. Phone calculators are unacceptable. Okay? So one of these two, or one that you already have at home. Okay. So I mentioned that you should get yourself a binder. The reason why we said you should get yourself a binder is tomorrow, if you have your binder, we're going to hand you out the packet of course notes that's about this thing. We have them all kind of stashed away for everybody. So we have course notes that are everyday materials that you fill in. And we also have all the homework pages are already there, all the reviews are there. But if you don't have a binder, they could just scatter everywhere. So that's why we're not giving it out on day one. So we have them here ready to go, both a packet of course notes and all the written homeworks for the whole course are already, everything's all printed out in the order that we do it. This is a very organized, like, train. This class is like a train that's very organized going. And so we're kind of I gave you everything you need for today just because it's good. So you get your binder tomorrow. So Everybody hear that? Why you need to have a binder? Because there's too many pages and they're not stapled and it just gets to be a mess. So calculator we talked about, binder we talked about, you'll get your course notes tomorrow. A lot of the rest of the stuff in the white syllabus is just court college policies that you can read yourself. The one I want you to get out is the yellow one. This is the important one, how the course works. You'll be referring to this one quite a bit. So if you turn over, you'll see the calendar. Every single day in this class is mapped out. So we are at today, day Tuesday. So today we're doing something chapter one of the merit check book. So you can see if it says merit check, that means it's coming from that homework's coming from that online file. And it's not until we get down to week, well, I guess it's week four. In week four where it starts clicking in some rock full of stuff. So anything merit check is more developmentally, anything wrong with is first important college algebra level. So it starts kind of the first unit basically elementary algebra in a way, and then it kind of moves into intermediate college algebra throughout the rest of the course. So every single day that it has a topic right here, you will have a homework assignment and it will be due the next day. Okay? And we'll talk about that first one after you do it. Okay, so what do we do sort of on Fridays when we only have an hour? So every Friday you'll have a quiz in here. So this Friday you're going to have a quiz. It's going to cover those three topics from that week. Typically it's four, because typically we have class on Monday. So you have four sections, then you have a quiz. Then you have two sections the following week, then you have another quiz over the whole unit. And then you have an exam. So the exams are always going to be divided into two parts, part A and part B, because we don't think an hour is long enough to take a test on a Friday. So basically it's an hour 20 and an hour. So you won't see this part on this day. So that's also quite nice that you have, there's a lottery review days built in, and there's like quiz. The quizzes are very much at the appropriate test level. They're open notes, so they're not... So you can use your notes if you need to. If you want to talk about it, we will leave it at that for now. Okay. And so you'll see all the tests are mapped out. So every Friday you're either taking a quiz or a test on those Fridays. So you'll come every Friday because that will be graded, something that will be graded. Okay, so that's how the course kind of rolls along. And there's spring break in there, and every day is kind of mapped out through the whole course. Including when the finals are and everything like that. So that takes us to your written homework. There's a written homework for every single day. The written homework has two parts. The written homework has the part on the front where you got the answers to. So what you want to do every day is just sit down and you do the stuff at the top of the written homework because this is your practice. And so you'll practice these problems right here. You'll look up the answers. You'll make sure you do it correctly or whatever. And then you'll practice. Sometimes it's three problems. Sometimes it's two. Sometimes it's four. It just depends on how many problems are kind of written in that part. Together, this makes up 100 points for the day. That's your 100-point homework grade for the day. 50 points on the top, 50 points for the bottom. But do you do it in 100 or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, some days it's one page and some days it's two pages.
Yeah. Sometimes it bleeds over to the back. We'll make note of that as you're going. We'll be a little lenient the first day or two, just trying to get that graded. So you will walk in tomorrow morning. Yours is already stapled together, so you don't need to staple it together. With that whole packet complete, and you'll put it on Dave's desk in the bathroom corner. You are allowed to get help on this all you want. We encourage it. We encourage you comparing with each other. We encourage you getting help. It's so that you learn how to do the material, because any problem on here is test-level material, basically. So you want to make sure you do those, check the answers before you do these. A lot of students tend to do these first just because it seems like, oh, I'll do these first. But you haven't even practiced the concept yet. So you tend to get these wrong when you haven't practiced the concept up high. A typical homework set might be 8 to 12 problems, maybe 15 max. So every night, you don't have a ton. You have enough to keep your mind into it, in the game, every single night. Half hour, hours worth of homework every night is what's kind of why this class is a little magical. It's not like you only meet twice a week and you end up with 3 sessions worth of homework. Every night, you're doing a little bit of math. So Dave or myself will grade that, and you'll get it back the same day. So so towards the end of the class, I'll say, hey, how many minutes do you need to go over homework? And he'll go, oh, everyone did really good, so I don't need any time. Or he'll say, I need 5 or 10 minutes to go over the most missed problems that were on that. That's another pretty special thing about this class, is that you're constantly getting feedback every single day on what you just did the day before. So we're real quick about turning around and grading stuff.
And I just want to add, so everything Diana said is absolutely true. You really ought to do the practice problems first before you do the written problems, what they're called, written problems. They're all written. You're going to turn in, you're going to show your work, and provide an answer. If you don't show your work, or if you don't attempt a problem on the practice problems, that gets graded off.
Yeah.
And sometimes people do these problems, what they call graded problems, and won't do the practice problems, but because it's worth 100 points, if you don't do the practice problems, you lose 50 points right off the bat.
Yeah, on that 50.
And that will affect your homework grade. So I just want to mention that.
Another thing is, everything in here, all your grades are through the College Algebra course in Blackboard. You'll see too the developmental 10414, the College Algebra. Everything's kept through College Algebra, so you'll never even go to the 0414 in Blackboard at all. Everything we've been talking about is through the College Algebra side. So we have a gradebook program that's already got every grade logged in, and we just sit back there and fill it in as we go along every single day. So you'll get a little email going about grades in Blackboard. So yeah, that's pretty important that you show your work and that you do that homework. I mean, that's how you learn how to do it, is practicing the problems. So tomorrow, it'll only be one sheet because I won't have done all the merit check problems for you. So you'll do it on notebook paper. Dave, you're the one who doesn't like fringe, right?
Like what?
The fringy stuff.
I don't care. I mean, for this course, okay. I'll let it go.
Okay. If you take a bottle and you rub it out, it just makes a mess. So I thought that you didn't like that.
It's one of my pet peeves.
Yeah, don't fringe because he gets mad. So just do it on plain notebook paper that doesn't have those jaggy stuff on the end. And while the stapler's sitting there and its front page is the written, back page is the homework stuff.
You say back page, but...
You'll say staple your stuff to the back. The notebook paper will staple to the back. At least that's how Lance likes it. Is that what you want?
Yeah.
Okay.
The printed out homeworks will all be on, they're one sided.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay with that? Alright. Okay, so that's how homework goes. There's a lot of homework because there's one homework for every section that we do. So every day you get a written homework. We talked about turning it in. Yeah, we don't like late stuff very much because we've already graded it and handed it back that same day. So if you're going to be sick, if you are sick that morning, don't get us all sick, like don't come to class. You can just take a picture and send it to us and then bring it the next day and then we'll give you full credit for that. Okay, so just be normal and we'll be normal back about that kind of thing. But if you just don't let us know you're not going to be here, you skip 3 days and you show up and want to turn stuff in, we're not going to take it. So you have to be very adult-like in your absences. You can be withdrawn if you start skipping quite a bit. So we just talked about all that stuff on the first day. Is it 5 absences?
We have 5 in the syllabus.
Yeah. If you miss more than 5 days, you're not going to pass anyway, but it's very difficult. But yeah, just make sure you stay on top of your attendance. Dave takes attendance every day. There's a column in your grade, Blackboard grade program that tells you how many times you've been absent. At the moment, it's showing 0 for everybody. And you want it to show 0 because that means you've been here every day. So he just kind of keeps track so you know, I know, he knows, we all know when you're absent. How many times you're absent. So that's how homework works.
Speaking of, I still have a couple of people who haven't signed. Jared Golden, who would sign.
So the tests are all given in class. They're all two-part tests. They're not going to be retaken. Your final exam can replace your lowest test score. That's kind of an important thing in the math class sometimes. The final is cumulative, so it can replace one of the earlier ones if you get a bad grade. Sometimes we make the quizzes group. Sometimes we don't. So prepare for it not to be, but we might make a group when you walk in that Friday and go, you can use your paper if you want, or after you do your problems, you can check with your paper before you submit it for final grading. So how are you graded?
there's two different courses, so there's two different grading scales. This is the 13-14 scale. It's 85% test, 10% written homework, 5% the quizzes. So no one homework counts a lot. So if you get like a 35 on a homework for some reason, don't like get all freaked out about it. There's 7 times 16 or whatever homeworks. There's a lot of homeworks throughout the course. So one doesn't make that big of a deal. We'll probably also drop the lowest 3 anyway at the end of the course. So we just go in and hit a button and drop the lowest 3. So don't like get too freaked out about one bad grade in there. And then we also have a column that just keeps track of your grade at any given moment. So it has a 13-14 grade and a 0-4-1-4 grade in Blackboard, so you can see what your grade is at any given moment. So there's that. The developmental side grade is a little bit different. The 0-4-1-4 grade is just the average of the first 5 tests. No homework, no quizzes, nothing else. Just the first 5 tests get averaged together. So week 10, your developmental grade is about sewn in at that point. Like, oh, you got an A or you got a B, because that's the first 5 tests. So homework and quizzes don't count on that side. So that talks about that. You can read through this on your own, too. Make sure all the intricacies are got. Does anybody have any questions? I know it's a lot of material to get. This is the one you use the most, though, so you can keep track of what we're doing. But really, you're just flipping through your notes and going to the next day, because we just do it sequentially in order. But if you ever miss a day and you wonder what you do, this is what we did that day. So, there's that. The green commitment form is going to be due tomorrow. So, we want you to think really hard if this is the class that you belong in, because it is such a big commitment, 7 credit hours. There's a lot of attendance. There's a lot of participation assignments. There's a lot of, at the beginning, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm very scared of math and I don't like it. And so I just shut down about that you have to overcome, because we're here to help you get that 13-14 year higher that you need to be complete in your math. By the way, everybody in here, this should be your last math class. No one's planning on going on to pre-cal or anything, or else you're in the wrong class. Is that correct? Does that make sense? Like, 13-14 is your terminating math class for your degree, and you don't need pre-calc, because if you do, if you're going to be an engineer, a doctor, anything like that, you are in the wrong class.
This is a non-STEM.
Non-STEM. Terminating. Done. Like, 13-14 and done. You could take staff after this, but not pre-calc or any of the types of sequence. So if you're not sure about your major or something like that, you want to check with your advisor today. Because we don't want you at the end of 13-14 being like, oh, I need pre-cal next semester, because you can't take it. You would need to take the 14-14 college algebra. So,
we should mention also, today and tomorrow, the add drop days. After that, you don't get a pre-pass on add drop.
Yes. Today and tomorrow is when you can switch classes without getting incurring the monetary. After Thursday, you're in here and you'll lose money and you're trying to get out of here. So they give you a day or two to make sure you're in the right class. And if you're not sure, talk to Dave or myself after class, and we'll help you out with that. Most people know this is their last class. I've never had any of my students come up to me, but last week in that math meeting, I had a lady come said, like, another from another campus, and she said two of her students at the end came up and said they were going to take pre-cal. I said, yeah, you're not in the right. This is not it.
Well, one thing that happens sometimes is we're such good teachers, especially Diane, that you'll change your major.
You say, oh, I like math now. I can actually do it. Yeah, that's true. Or they want to now be business. I think you can go to business calc from this. I'm 99.9% sure, because that was that one girl that was really, really good. And she wanted to, like, business stuff. She, like, she was good at math. I was like, you want to do something mathy, you know? And I think we found out you can take business calc after this. Okay, so first thing tomorrow, you're going to turn this in. On the back is some stuff about technology in the classroom. So no laptops unless they're approved by the instructor or you have an accommodation letter. No earbuds are worn during instructional time. No cell phones. Yeah, just flip it over. We'll tell you to put your phone away.
Yeah, by the way, if I come around and tell you to put your cell phone away, don't take it personally.
Yeah, it's just
do it.
It annoys everybody when someone's phone out and next to you and it goes off or whatever. So
So you assign both of these and turn these in tomorrow. So homework number one is to do your PhD and turn in tomorrow. Any questions so far? Okay, so on the right, there was the one that said algebra plus written homework, but there was also one that just said use general strategies to solve linear equations. That's what we mean when we say course notes. We're going to give you a bundle tomorrow of all the notes for the whole class. I just ran off the first one for today. A typical lecture might have 3 to 5 pages. And it says on the bottom, like, oh, today's is 3 pages. It's a lot of room for examples. I don't know why there's not a back on this one. I think Dave and my other teacher, Lance, stick to these quite a bit. I go off topic quite a bit, so I think you're going to want to spiral too with extra paper, because I don't always feel these are sufficient. 2 problems to be in math sometimes. So, like, they'll always come in and go, oh, she's teaching, so we need paper. Yeah, you need paper. So I'm going to do 10 examples, not 2. So make sure you sort of have both as far as that goes. If there's a blank sheet, these are yours. So we're never collecting these, so you can write as much as you want. You can use colors, highlighters, whatever you need. Star will be a big thing. Hey, star that, because that's a pretty big problem students make or whatever. So that when you go back and look at your notes, you can kind of flip through. So you want to flip, keep these accurate because you can use these on your quizzes. And these are how you're learning the material. It's going to seem, for some people, quite easy at the beginning. Because it's elementary algebra at the very beginning. Like today's lecture in just a couple minutes might seem quite easy to some of you. And I'm just pointing out the common mistakes that you would make. Trust me, it gets a whole lot harder. It gets to college algebra level pretty quickly. So we just need to get through some of the developmental stuff. Dave, what would you like to say?
I just want to get to two more signatures. Haley Hicks.
Okay. Right here. I'm actually going to take one real quick.
Mateo.
So, if you want to be called something different than what this says, tell me right now. If you're going to go by a written name on your paper, something different. Enrique. Here. Rachel's here. Jennifer.
Here.
Ivan.
Here. I go by Eli.
You're going to write E-L-I, so you spell it. Okay. Brianna?
Here.
Raul? I have a picture, so some of you I can see. Matilda? Reagan? Is it Reagan or Regan?
Reagan.
Kaylee? Brandon? Kimberly. Cindy. Sarah. Annalise. Annalise. Emily. Mateo. Pauline. Gabriella.
Gabby.
Cassidy, Juan, Ethan, Simone, Danielle, Sherry, Kayla. I was only out missing one, Dave. Kaylee Hicks.
Are there 2 Kaylas? Who's the last one you just called?
The last one I called was Kayla. Kayla Dixon is here. Kaylee Hicks is not here.
Kaylee Hicks is not here. Okay.
Okay. That's pretty good for the first day. Hey, good job, y'all, for coming the first day. That's really good. That's almost 100%.
I want to mention one more thing.
Yep.
So we're recording all the lectures.
Oh, yeah.
And if you go to Blackboard, there's a place in the course document section called Recorded Lectures, and you can go there. And, I'll just bring that up at the very top. Just click on it, and you'll see...
Well, there's nothing there yet.
Well, there it is. So there's the two courses that I'm teaching, and of course this is both Diane and me on the left-hand side. That's today's date, but of course there's nothing there yet. And then it'll be basically upload an MP3 file for every lecture. and it will be dated. And so if you like to listen to the lectures more than once, you're free to do that. You can copy it down to your computer and listen to it. I just ask that you not sell it on eBay or something like that. So if there's ever a time when the recorded lectures don't work or something is wrong about them, let me know.
I'm handing you out my IA flyer that's got my additional hours in the elevator, where you can come and get free help. So we have on this campus two different learning labs. The main learning lab is in building 2000. And they will help you in all your subjects, including math. They have tutors on a variety of subjects. They'll probably come visit at some point and introduce themselves to you. And then in the accelerator, we have a much smaller, more efficient, streamlined, very nice learning lab. With me and Fatna for the most part, another one of my colleagues. And we help all the math, and then we also have an English guy too, so I can't remember his name at this moment. And you can admit, it's pretty nice, isn't it? Yeah, she came along for staff. So it's open tutoring, it's free, you've already paid for it. So you can come get help whenever you want from any of the tutors there. Mostly you find somebody you like and you try to go to that tutor as much as you can, because not everybody explains math the same way, and not everybody can flexibly explain math a different way than the way they know it, so they have to be able to explain the way your teacher did to be effective, for the most part, without you getting frustrated. So, I think that's all I can think of. This is the only day where we come in and blab for like 36 minutes about non-mathy stuff. Usually we're pretty efficient, and we get right to math and reviewing the day before, but there's just a lot to talk about on the first day of class. So, I think we covered pretty much everything. Anybody have any questions? Is it what you expected? Did they prepare you? Like, this is a pretty intense thing. But it works really, really well. So I think that we are going to go and get started with take out your notes for this. Chapter one is just called the foundation. So that's why it says at the top, foundation. Looks like that. So there's three basic topics that I want to talk about today and highlight today. Mathematically speaking. And you'll probably need a piece of paper for this, because before we do these problems, I want to talk about some more basic stuff to begin with. So we're going to review for you, and if you ever calculator, go ahead and get it out. If you don't, I'm allowing you to use your phone calculator just for today, because you'll probably need a calculator today. So, so we find that a lot of people get math problems wrong simply because they don't have the order of operations ingrained in their head. And they just want to do things left to right, because we read left to right. So, like, why do we not do math left to right when we read left to right? We don't do math necessarily left to right when you see a problem such as this. So, like, my first example is typically always this. And it simply says 2 plus 3 times 5. So we will not use a time symbol in here ever for multiplication. We'll either use a dot or a parenthesis. So that problem could be written that way, or that problem could be written that way. And I know I'm just kind of reviewing some stuff that I think you should already know, but not everybody knows it, so I'm just saying it. Both of these mean multiplication, the dot and the parenthesis like that. And so if you do it from left to right, you're going to get the answer wrong. If this is just one small piece of a much bigger part of a problem, you're already doomed from the very beginning because you don't know how to follow order of operations. So what is the correct answer? 17. What's the most common incorrect answer? 25. So your choices are like 17 or 25, right? But only one's right and one's 100% wrong. The person that just reads it left to right is going to get 25 and that's wrong. The person who follows order of operations is going to get the answer correct. Your calculator has order of operations logic built into it. So if you type in 2 plus 3 times 5, it's going to give you the correct answer, 17. But we would like you to know why and to be able to do it sort of longhand, because you're not always going to be able to type stuff in depending on the problems.
So each one of these letters is an acronym. If you could say PEMDAS or please excuse my dear Aunt Sally, whatever you learn to memorize that order, stands for a mathematical operation that you should already know. So what does the P stand for?
Parentheses,
but it could also stand, it really means grouping symbols. So it could also be brackets. It could be braces. If there happens to be more than one grouping symbol in the problem, we kick like in work your way out. It could also be absolute value bars. So those are the most common sort of four grouping symbols that you can see in a class. And if you don't know what absolute value bars are, we'll talk about them at some point. But so you do what's inside of those first, working your way inside out. What is the east? And so it's first. It's like the king. You do whatever's in parentheses first. Even though it might technically be brackets, I will probably just say parentheses. What does the E stand for?
Exponents.
So if there's exponents in the problem, you're going to want to do that second. Exponents are something like this. When you see 3 squared, that's the exponent.
So this is called the base. That's called the exponent. So we will refer to those like, oh, what's the base?
The base is 3. What's the exponent? The exponent is 2.
You can say 3 to the second power, or you can say 3 squared. Mostly in here, we square and cube. I guess we've taken out most of the stuff higher than that. So you might cube something.
Like this would be read 4 cubed. It means not 4 times 3, but 4 times 4 times 4.
Most people probably don't know what 4 times 4 times 4 is off the top of their head. They would have to key that in. And when we get to the technical part, I'll talk a little bit more about that.
Okay, so parentheses come first, exponents come second, M and the D are multiplication and division. They are tied, but we had to put one letter first, we put the M first. So they're tied, and you do them from left to right as you see them in the problem.
So you don't multiply first and then divide. They're tied. They go left to right. That's the one on Facebook all the time. They're like, oh, everyone's arguing about the answer to this problem. Because they just remember, like, PEMDAS. And they, well, multiplication comes next and then division. But that's not true. They go from left to right.
And addition and subtraction are the last things that you do. Addition and subtraction, they also get done from left to right. So these are the rules of the game. They're very clear-cut rules. There's no deviating from them to get the right answer. So you've got to memorize how to use them. I could start with some easy problems and work our way to a little bit more difficult order of operations. So chances are, if everybody's positive, every number I give you is positive, 2, 3, 5, 7, 9, you'll be okay. But then we start making some of the answers, like some of the numbers negative, negative 3, negative 5, negative 7. And so having sign numbers with a negative out front, that messes some people up. Or there could be decimals, or they could be fractions. They could be negative fractions with some decimals in there. So there's kind of a hierarchy of making the problem get harder and harder. I'm starting with some basic ones just to see if you remember how to do it. So, okay, so if I give you a problem like this, or you see a problem like this, it's an order of operations problem. The directions would say simplify. Simplify means you can get it down to one single number as your final answer to a problem like this. We would like to see the work behind it at the moment. We usually there's a pretty smart kid like in his head that can do a lot of stuff in their head, and I don't want to discourage that because that's a really good thing to have. But when you're first kind of learning, we're having you write some stuff down. So do you see any parentheses? No. Do you see any exponents? Yes. You got a 4 squared right there, right? So you're going to do that first and evaluate that and write it down right underneath it. So do you know what 4 squared is? 4 times 4 is 16. So 3 plus 16 minus 2 times 3.
Am I still equivalent? In other words, is it equivalent to what was above it? Yes. I've just done one step in the process. Am I done? No. All right, now what? Yeah, multiplication comes next, right? So I've got this addition I have to train myself to ignore for a moment. I've got that subtraction I have to train myself to ignore for a minute because multiplication is higher than the other two. So I want to go ahead and multiply.
So let's see, 3 plus 16 minus 2 times 3 is 6, like this.
Now you got down to addition and subtraction. Addition and subtraction goes from left to right. So 3 plus 16 is
19, and 19 minus 6 is 13.
That's you showing all the steps right now to get to the correct answer. That way, if there's something wrong, we can go, oh, it was good to hear, and I usually draw a line. Like when I'm grading your stuff and it was good, I'm like, oh, it was good to write here, and below the line it went wrong. That's where your mistake, that's where you're looking. If you don't have any steps, you just have a number down here, we've got to take off everything. And we don't know where you went wrong. So we really want to see what's going on in your brain to try to help you get things efficiently and to get them right. Okay, how do you feel about that first one? That's a basic one. Had a little bit of a little bit, but not nothing too fancy.
How about this one? So second example, negative 3 plus 1 plus 4 quantity squared.
Thoughts about that? Where do you start? Inside the parentheses, right? If you see parentheses and you look inside, there's something you can do, do it. And even within that, you must follow order of operations. But this is just an addition, so you can go ahead and add those together.
So you want to get that parenthesis number down to a single number like this.
All right, so far so good. All I had to do was add 1 and 4 in my head. Next comes exponents. And so you want to go ahead and square 5. It's pretty common mistake we would see at the beginning for like non-mathy people to write 10 there. It doesn't mean 5 times 2, it means 5 times 5. 5 times 5 is 25.
So negative 3 plus 25. And then at that point,
so I teach developmental for a long, long time. I have it doesn't save me one single bit when I see you pull out your calculator and do that problem. We think you should be able to do it in your head, probably. Like, so I said you'd have to key every single thing in. But if you need to key in negative 3 plus 25 to get that answer right at this point, just do it. We're looking for sort of accuracy in the right answer and put your pride aside. And just like, it's easier for me to work with a student who says, yeah, I have to key that in, than one who thinks they know it and they get it wrong all the time. And they write something like 25 or 24 or something because they're 28 or whatever. They can't do that. They don't even recognize they can't do it. So that's a hard problem to correct. But that's why we like to have a calculator for everything. If you're going to use a calculator for everything, get really efficient at it, like so that you're quick on the draw. Like you can key things in really quickly. So speaking about that, when you're going to put in negative 3 into your calculator, you must use the change of sign key to make the 3 negative. In other words, you need some basic calculator skills in here. This does not make somebody negative. That's a subtraction symbol. This makes somebody negative down here. And my calculator on this particular one, I enter it first, and it clearly says negative 3. Different models, you do 3 and then negative. You enter after the fact. That's kind of up to you. But negative 3 plus 25, and you get 22. And oh, I got a little. That's a little bit annoying. I dropped it a little while ago, and now it's got like a weird thing right there that almost looks like a negative symbol, right? Right there. But it's not, because it's not even rubbing away, so I have to be a little bit careful. It's 22, and that's my favorite calculator, too. So that final answer was 22. Okay, so we need to talk for a little bit about exponents. So do you have calculator with you today, or you don't? Okay, so I want to take a look at this problem. So we're just deviating from, just talking about exponents for a minute. Both of these are read 4 squared. 4 squared, parentheses around 4 being squared. Do you think that changes the answer? The same answer? They both get the same answer? Which is?
16.
You got it right. Not 4 times 2, it's 4 times 4. So this means 4 times 4, which is 16. The parentheses may say, like, hey, I'm the base. The base is 4. So this is 4 times 4, and it's also 16. So they both get the same answer, 16. those parentheses seem almost to not mean anything in a way. But let's take a look at this problem. So now I've changed the base from 4 to almost looks like negative 4 in a way, but let's look at that. Do you think those two problems give the same answer?
No.
I've got some quick votes for no. Raise your hand if there are different answers. Same answer. Just not sure. Within 2 minutes, you better be 100% sure. Because if we had 10 bucks for every time this mistake gets made, we'd have been retired already. This is a pretty big problem if you don't get the correct, like you don't see these are different. So why are these different? Well, the exponent goes to the base right here. So there's the base. The base is 4. If I was going to expand this out, that negative symbol right there comes down one time and there it's sitting. And this means 4 times 4. Over here, when there's parentheses around it, that means it's the entire base being multiplied times itself. So if I was to expand this one out, this one is negative 4 times the second negative 4. So what's the big difference is the number of negative signs. Because two negatives multiplied together make a positive. So negative 4 times negative 4 is positive 16. But this one only has one negative symbol. 4 times 4 is 16, and then you negate it. So this guy's answer is negative 16. And those are wildly different answers. This is having $16. This is owing $16. Very, very different answers. So if we want to make one where we think you're going to get it wrong, this is all we have to do, is have a negative sort of exponent, because it separates the people who understand how this works and how it doesn't work. Every symbol in math means something. The devil's in the details here. And once you understand it, it's like, oh, okay, like, I get it. I get what it's saying, and I'm not going to make that mistake. But this might be something that you might struggle a little bit with until you're practicing it. So let's give you one that involves it. So this is just the order of operations problem. Do you have an answer? Compare it to your neighbor. See if they got the same answer.
Word of operations is actually one of the tricky, I think it's one of the trickiest things that we do, in that if we gave 25 of you an order of operations problem, we could literally get 23 different answers. You know what I mean? Like, everyone deviates a different way and gets their own, like, creates their own thing. There's the most variety of different answers. This, not in this one, because this one doesn't have a lot to it. But there's a lot of numbers to it. So clearly you're not going to get this part wrong. You're going to get this part wrong, right? So what did you just learn? What's negative 5 squared?
Negative 25, because that negative is not being squared because it's not in parentheses. So this is negative 25, and then the multiplication comes next, so plus 12. And negative 25 plus 12 is? Negative 13. So if you got negative 13, raise your hand. Good job. Learned a lot. Very good. So be careful about stuff like that. And I want to look at the one last one, then we're going to kick to something a little bit different. So this one. Something like this. Now we can start getting a few different answers from the class. If I gave this problem, hey, what's the answer? I could probably get 5 different answers on it. It's tricky when you haven't seen it before. Inside out. Work on the inside. Work your way out. Following the rules. Thank you. good place to start. Yes, so I do set up brackets, but then within those parentheses, so whenever you start right here, the 2 minus 7 is the first thing you should do. So you don't go left to right, you're looking like for the proper order.
So I'm going to leave the 3 alone, the bracket alone, the 1, the plus sign, the 3, the open parenthesis, and all I want to do is what's 2 minus 7?
What's 2 minus 7?
Negative 5. So now I've got this. This is equivalent, a little bit more simplified.
Okay, so I hope everybody gets that one. We are still striving to get this bracketed number down to a single number, because that's the goal, right? So within here, I must follow order of operations. I see an addition, and I see a multiplication. Which comes first? Multiplication.
So you should be doing 3 times negative 5 next. So the 1 comes down for just a moment, hangs out for a minute.
And depending on how you wrote it, did you write plus negative 15 or minus 15? So positive 3 times negative 5 is negative 15 or minus 15.
So minus 15 looks like this. So far, so good.
We still haven't gotten it bracketed down to a single number, so you want to do that. 1 minus 15.
And 1 minus 15 is?
Negative
14. No?
14.
Negative 14, yeah. Like that.
Now we're to the final multiplication. Remember that 3 with nothing in between is multiplied. So 3 times negative 14 is negative
42. By a show of hands, how many people got negative 42? See how we just lost a bunch of people in there?
If you didn't get negative 42, do you see where you screwed up? You've got to go and practice some of these. You just govern everything that we do. So, like, how can you do math if you can't kind of follow words like a set of rules of, like, 4 basic rules to follow? So you just need to practice them. Some of you might have not seen this in a long, long time. This is not new. It's been around forever. Way predates the Court of Operations is something, not just this class, this city, this state, the whole United States scientific community agrees to follow this set of rules. So you must learn to comply yourself to this so that you do things in the proper order. Okay, any questions on that? We're now going to build on that.
So I'm going to give you what's called an algebraic expression. So the directions would say evaluate. So x squared plus 3x. So you're going to be given a little expression such as this, x squared plus 3x for x equals 1.
And then off to the right, so we introduce some variables to you right now. This is called an algebraic expression. It doesn't have an equal to sign, so you're not solving anything. You're just evaluating it. So what do? How do you do this? Yeah, she said you substitute everywhere you see x with the number 1. I agree. You're substituting in the value of 1.
When you sub in a number, such as 1, put parentheses around it so that it looks like this.
That's majorly important when the sub-in number is negative. We're just going to do it all the time to get in that very good habit to do it that way. Now you've just got another order of operations problem. So the only additional layer I added on top of it was now you got to plug a number in. Now you've got an order of operations.
So I'm going to do the exponent first. So 1 squared means 1 times 1, which is 1. So I did my exponents. Now I have a multiplication right here. So 3 times 1 is 3. And 1 plus 3 is 4. Okay, so here's one for you to try. X squared minus 5x for x equals negative 2.
See what you learned from the first one when you do this one. So things to ask yourself is, did you remember to put parentheses around your substitution variable, like the negative 2, the substitution value?
So do you have open parentheses negative 2 squared minus 5 times negative 2?
Every time you sub somebody in, put parentheses around like that. Now you could basically use your calculator to do the whole thing, or you could just do parts on your calculator. But don't get, this is another common mistake. I see people write this, but when they key it in, they don't put the parentheses in. Your calculator has parentheses keys there for a reason. It should look identical to what's on the paper. If you just key in negative 2 squared, it's going to tell you negative 4. But what is the quantity negative 2 squared supposed to be? Positive 4, because it means negative 2 times negative 2.
So use the parentheses keys when you have that written down. Negative 5 times negative 2 becomes positive, because negative times negative is positive, so plus 10. And so that guy's answer is 14.
If you got 14 on that, pretty good. I have that idea about summing stuff in a basic elementary algebra type way. So let's kick it up a notch
to some ultimate substitution problems. So x squared plus xy minus y squared.
So now I've got x's and y's in the problem, so I have to give you replacements for x and y.
So for x equals 3 and y equals 5.
So in other words, everywhere you see an x, you're going to replace it with 3, and everywhere you see a 5, you're going to replace it with y. And you're going to put parentheses around every value that you're subbing in like that.
And everybody should agree to the way it looks. And it should look exactly like mine. Getting a number out of it might be a different story, but at least plugging them in.
The more negatives we throw in the problem, the trickier they become. Notice that that negative did not end up in the parentheses, so it's not. I've been putting the value 5. So it should look like that.
And then you can do your exponents next. So 3 squared is 9. 5 squared is 25. Then you can do your multiplication in the middle. So 3 times 5 is 15. So plus 15.
So if you notice in one row, I kind of did the 2 exponents and the multiplication all in one row. You don't have to take a row for every single thing. You can kind of do a couple at the same time like that. And now it goes from left to right.
So 9 plus 15 is 24, and 24 minus 25 is negative 1. Negative 1.
Oftentimes in a textbook, that might be the A part of the problem, and then the B part says, okay, do the same problem again for x equals negative 3 and y equals negative 5. So I'm adding a B part to it now. Do you think you're going to get the same answer or a different answer? A different answer, probably. Trickier when everybody's negative, so give it a go.
Maybe this was a bad example.
That we thought we would get a different answer. But
negative 3 times negative 3 is positive 9, and negative 5 times negative 5 is positive 25 with that minus sign in the middle.
And I've got 2 negatives being multiplied together, which gives me a positive with sort of a plus sign in front of it, so plus 15 in the middle. And we end up getting the same answer. Do you agree? It's a little quirky. That's a little unusual. I didn't expect that to happen. But how do I know I'm right? Because I followed order of operations. Like, I did it right. So it doesn't mean that you can't quickly get the same answer. But normally you would not. Oftentimes a negative will be off or whatever. But because I have double negatives. All right. So you'll practice a few of those. And the last thing I want to talk about is some fraction stuff. So
If you have your typewriter out, go ahead and get it up and out. How many of you have this TI-30?
Nobody? Well, then that's
I do.
That's not going to be very useful for me to talk about that today.
How many of you have this?
Not many of you have a calculator today. You want to get a calculator.
Okay, so
I'm going to talk about fractions for just a couple minutes.
Normally, in a developmental math class, once the problem involves fractions, you all quit and say, I can't do it, and then you're kind of like, that just adds a whole layer of difficulty. We are sort of conceding at the moment that you can do a lot of the fraction stuff with a calculator that has the fraction buttons. You'll need to know more fraction stuff about week 12, like actually how to do stuff with fractions. But right now, if I was asking you how to multiply like 1/2 times 3/7, you may or may not know how to do it mathematically, because all of a sudden fractions just raise everyone's like anxiety level up just a little bit for a lot of people. Multiplying fractions is not difficult because you can multiply straight across. So 1 times 3 is 3, and 2 times 7 is 14, and you get 3/14. But I'll say it real quick today, and I'll review it again tomorrow when y'all try to convince you why to get this one, why to get this calculator. So this TI calculator has a fraction key right here. It's called the ABC key. And I can just enter it as fractions, and it's going to give me the answer. So if I want to do 1/2 times 3/7, I hit 1 and then the ABC key. It's a little bit hard to see, but it put kind of a little right angle there. So 1/2 was the first one. So 1/2, then times star. It's going to show us a star on this calculator. And 3/7, so 3 is the numerator, and 7 is the denominator. So that right there is my calculator saying 1/2 times 3/7, and just hit equals, and there's the answer, 3/14. Whether, and if you want to subtract them, you just put minus. If you wanted to divide them, you put whatever operation you have, just to know how to input a fraction. So it's really, really helpful to have that key. If you have a fraction like 10/12, and I enter, I have to think about this for a second, if I enter 10/12, just the fraction 10/12, and I hit equals, it reduces it for me, 5/6. So it also like reduces the fraction to the lowest term so that you're not having to divide stuff out of it. So that's kind of helpful. If it's an improper fraction, it'll go back and forth to mixed number, improper fraction with that key right there. If you have, for instance, like 0.5, what's 0.5 as a fraction? 1/2, right? We all know 0.5 is 1/2. If I have a fraction, a decimal, and I want to make it go back to a fraction, it's the second feature of this key where it says F to D, D to F. So second, that key, and it's saying, hey, do you want me to put it in the other format? And I'm saying yes, and it says 1/2. So this calculator is super easy and handy with this ABC key and this fraction and decimal key right here. And then this is the one that goes from mixed number to improper fraction. Like all those keys right here kind of make a problem like this 2/3 minus 1/2 times 5/3 super easy, because you're basically just keying it in the proper order of operations format. So in other words, the multiplication comes first. I know you don't have it today, so I'm not going to spend a lot more time talking about that today because you don't have it on you, but go buy one, because your homework tonight involves quite a bit of fraction stuff. The TI, if I recall correctly, for the most part, TI goes decimal, then the last minute you can tell it to put it back as fraction, like your answer is a fraction, using math. Math, and then choice number one or choice number two will put it back and forth. So we're pretty familiar with all the calculators that you can buy. This is the one that like I like a lot. There's another one that shows more screens on the top. That one. This TI-30XF probably is even nicer, because if you look at that, it shows it. It looks like it looks on the paper. It doesn't have that weird right angle bar. Not only that, but it shows two screens, like two lines. And so two lines.
Three
lines at the same time. This one's probably, it's called the multi-view. But it's also got, like this key, which is the same idea, numerator, denominator key. So if you like this one, get that one. These are both really, really good for the remainder of this class. They have all the log stuff on it. Just double check it. That goes on tangent. Oh, yeah. So we're doing logarithms at the end of the course, so it has to have the LN log key, and both of these do.
So these would be just totally sufficient for either one of these. Yep, you should be good. Yep, she's perfect. So her fraction key just has like a blank box for the numerator and the denominator. Like it just has double. Like you have to just look at your calculator. But that one's good too. So there's a lot of varieties in the $10 to $15 range that are really nice calculators for this box. You see how they'd be really, really helpful. That also, say my hers is really nice too. Has all the fraction stuff right here, or that key right there, that you would need in here. So that's another option. So it's easy to watch us or your partner, like somebody just key stuff in, but you've got to have it your own and practice it to know that you're getting the right answer to get good at it. So I want you to do the following right now. I want you to go back to the course notes I didn't really use and work on 1, 2, and 2A and 2B. So see if you can do them. So one is definitely the one that involves a little bit more work. Hopefully you can kind of look at 2A and B and just know those now. We talked about that just with a different base. We talked about the base being 4, I think. So I want to do 2A and 2B first. So what's the quantity? If I want you to write down parentheses, I say the quantity. I just naturally think everyone should know that, but I know you don't. But like if I'm going to read that properly, you could say open parenthesis -3, close parenthesis 2, or I can just say the quantity. The quantity means put parentheses around me. So what's the quantity -3 squared? 9. What's -3 squared? -9. Good job. Okay, so back up to here, I've got a bunch of stuff going on in that numerator. So I just want something more simplified, but that's still equivalent. So I see a multiplication, a subtraction, and a multiplication. So I'm going for the, so I'm doing inside there first. I'm doing the two multiplications. So 3 times 6 is 18, and minus, and 2 times 4 is 8. So am I still equivalent up top? Yes. Do you have the option right now to continue just working in the numerator to get the numerator? Sure, it just depends on how your brain works. Like I might come to here or I might just keep working in the numerator. I would probably start simplifying that denominator also
So I've got a couple powers right here. So 4 squared is 16, and 3 squared is 9.
So that's pretty legit. I've shown enough work to show I'm on my way, but I'm not done yet.
Up top, 18 minus 8 is 10. And down below, 16 plus 9 is 25. So it's looking like that at that point. And then 10 squared is 100. And 100 divided by, oops, I don't know why I wrote 24, 25.
So you don't want to leave this if it actually goes in. So 100 divided by 25 is 4, so the final answer is 4.
Might I have gone right from here to 4? Sure. Make sure your answer's on the answer blank.
So we know, like, what's the appropriate amount of work in a way. If you're getting it wrong, you need to show more work. And if you're getting things consistently right, start to streamline your process a little bit more. So if you got those three right, that's a pretty good lesson sort of for today.
So I want to talk about, in the last 5 minutes, what's due tomorrow. Number one, the commitment form.
Read that green form.
Both sides.
Front. So you're going to do that tomorrow. Number two. Chapter 1 written homework. It was given to you. You won't even need the merit check because all the problems are here. So you have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 practice problems right here. In order to find the answers, you'll need to go to that file, though. So we want you checking those answers before you do the three problems on the coverage. So how do you get to the file? You go to Blackboard, Course Documents, Merit Check Solutions. It's going to be towards the back. So you just have to find the Chapter 1 solution. In Blackboard, that's what you're going to find. So Merit Check File to check the answers. And then we would also like you to work on the form that Dave handed out for the online access for the Rockwell textbook. See if you can do it and get in on your own. You have 2 weeks to do it, but we'd like you to sort of start tonight if you can figure that stuff out. Dave.
One more thing. How many of you have your student ID card? How many of you do not? Okay. So when you do not have a student ID, your picture doesn't show up in our roster.
You're a riverbat with a question mark in front of it.
Yeah, so it makes it harder for us to get to know you. So I mean, at least I would really appreciate it if you would get the student ID. It's free.
Do you know where to get it? Downstairs in the campus manager's office, right? That's where we put it, right?
Yeah.
It's in this building, downstairs in the campus manager's office, and then you can get a cool student discount when you go to, like, Center Cloud or wherever you go.
Cash office.
Say again?
Cash office is down there too, right?
Yeah, so the cashier's office is downstairs too, like in that hallway.
Where you can go in, it's the right.
Yeah. Or to the left, if you're in the other way. Anybody have any other questions? So, don't forget tomorrow to bring your binder because we have in here all the course notes for the whole course that we're going to give out to you. So I know I didn't use mine a lot today because sometimes I don't, but sometimes I do. So it'll have all the sections, and we'll try to finish out these fraction ones tomorrow too, so we'll have a little bit more time to finish up this one so it's filled in for you, and to also do 1.2, the next section that we're doing. So, anybody have a question? All right. Thank you all for coming today. We will see you. If anybody wants to talk to us, we're going to hang out for a couple minutes. Are there people out in the hall? Do we have another class coming? If you're stuck at all, come to the accelerator at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. I will be here to help you.
I don't see anybody out
there. Or 8:30. Not me.
No,
me
neither, but a few minutes.
A few minutes.